This is Habs Fan versus Leafs Fan for May 10th. I am Leafs Fan Ari Shapiro, and with me, as always, is the legendary, the notorious Habs Fan Kamal Ramanan.
Hey, Ari.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Your answer wasn't befitting of my operatic opening for you.
I didn't know how to respond. It was such a great introduction.
I should have just kept going.
Yeah.
Should have filled in the blanks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're here talking hockey because a lot of people want us to talk about hockey. They keep tweeting me, where's Habs Fan and Leafs Fan? We need their incredibly important opinions about Game 7. So let's offer the listeners some opinions. What's going to happen tonight? Let's start. What do you want to start with? You want to start with Washington, Pittsburgh?
Yeah, let's start with Washington, Pittsburgh.
Okay.
7 o'clock tonight, so it makes sense to do the...
What a game. Like, this is such a huge game for so many reasons.
Could the NHL ask for a better scenario? Sidney Crosby versus Alex Ovechkin, Game 7.
Mm.
And that's not to diminish any of the other characters that are involved in this
play. And there are a lot of characters.
The Malkins of the world, the Backstroms of the world, the Holtbys, the Flurries. But let's face it, it's Crosby versus Ovechkin.
Shh. Don't talk about Malkin. You know, a.k.a. the leading scorer in these postseason playoffs, and yet he gets about as much media attention as, I don't know who. Ty Domi. I think
Ty Domi gets more, probably.
He gets more, probably, yeah.
Even to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's got 5 more points than Sid the Kid.
That's unbelievable to me. He's got more points than anyone, and you don't even see Sid on my first screen of my awesome score app. So that tells me that he's going to get hit. What if he has a spectacular performance tonight? Let's say he scores a hat trick or he gets the game winner.
Gino. Yeah.
Do you think it'll vault him into a higher standing, maybe, or at least the same footing as Sid for these playoffs?
I don't know if anything can.
So let's get back to the game itself. It's a big one. What are you expecting? What can you realistically foresee happening tonight that'll make you and I go, wow?
What am I realistically expecting?
Yeah, like will it be a close game? Will it be a blowout? Will Ovechkin go off and do something mercurial? Will Crosby have another incident where he falls and people get worried? He's averaging that per game now.
What was it? What is he averaging? What?
Really bad looking falls and possible concussions.
Yeah, I know. Oh, God, that tumble into the boards was terrible. I don't know how he survived that. But first, I'm going to say what I hope happens tonight, which is I hope to see a good competitive game and not a typical Washington Capitals / Alex Ovechkin in any international tournament against Canada roll over and die 6-0 game.
Wow.
I don't want to see that. I want to see a good, competitive, close, hard-fought game with the stars being stars, Ovechkin and Crosby and Malkin each getting a goal and an assist, and I want to see Washington win. That's what I want to see.
And like you said, that means Backstrom has to show up.
Yeah, Backstrom has to show up.
Robin needs to be there for Batman or Gotham's lost.
That's true. That's very true. And then also who has to show up to the Robin and the Batman is maybe the Green Lantern. Justin Williams, Mr. Game 7.
I would have said Bane, but Green Lantern's pretty good too.
Yeah, the minor superhero that, you know, didn't sell a lot of...
The true game-breaker-style NHL player that he's always been. Pretty crazy. And no matter how old he gets, if he's on your team, he's going to do something for you. You were talking about that earlier, what a rarity that could be to find a player who just knows how to win. And maybe that's what's going to take the Capitals over the edge, I think, tonight, is having a guy on that bench say, guys, this is your moment. You blow this, we're going to get dismantled. I think you can agree that this is not going to be the same Washington Capitals teams next year if they don't win.
Yeah, there's a lot of contracts that are going to be up. Big Williams time. And Oshie, and of course Shattenkirk won't be.
May not even come back.
He's not going to be there
for sure.
So yeah, I think this is they have to seize the moment, and I think they know now that this is their last essentially kick at the can with the roster as is. And I also think that one of the big things is that Marc-Andre Fleury is looking like the Marc-Andre Fleury that everyone expected him to look like. I think he has, in the first 4 games of this series, he had a .930+ save percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last 2 games, he's been to .845.
Wow.
And he's looked broken. All you got to do is, and I'm going to predict, 2 goals, low blocker side on on Marc-Andre Fleury. That seems to be the spot where you go on Fleury, and if those happen, there's two on Marc-Andre Fleury, low blocker side, Caps win game 7.
I think I'm with you on this one. I've got this feeling that Ovechkin and company will finally demonstrate that the media no longer has to make a mockery out of their postseasons. The last, how many years has it been now where they've like rolled into the postseason, well, expected to be dominant favorites either because of their regular season record or their personnel, and then they always find a way to blow a game? Because really, it hasn't looked great. I mean, they have battled the Penguins in the series, but coming off of a series where they played 5 out of 6 games in overtime against the 8th-seeded Leafs,
mm-hmm.
It kind of makes you wonder, what is this team really made of? And this is the game to prove that. I think that they could, a lot of naysayers, a lot of negative opinions about this Washington team gets absolutely exorcised, literally, if they win tonight, I think.
Yeah. I think if the Capitals win tonight, they win the Stanley Cup.
Wow, it's a big statement considering that there'll be some really good Western options.
Yeah, I think this is it. If they win it tonight, they win the Stanley Cup. But we'll see what happens. Holtby and Fleury are the key. Fleury's known to be flaky at times and also clutch, whereas Holtby's never really known to be clutch. So we'll see what happens there.
I'm with you. We both agree that it looks like the Caps will get it done this evening. Let's turn.
What's your score on that?
I'm going to go with, believe it or not, a really low-scoring game. Even though we think all these players are going to step up, I think that it's going to be a 2-1 regulation final.
Really?
With maybe someone like an Ovechkin or Backstrom getting a late third-period goal and then finally being able to do something in front of those Washington fans that make them pump their fists, like you said, and say, bring on the Stanley Cup final, even though we're going into the third round.
Yeah, I agree. And taking the Ottawa Senators for granted. I'm going to go 4-2. 4-2, not an empty net goal, just 4-2.
Let's turn our attention to the Western Conference. Another great series. Another one filled with trials, tribulations, shocking moments, great expectations, some fulfilled, some unfulfilled. But how do you and I think that we could possibly go against Dreisaitl, McDavid, and the Oilers right now? It looks like they're going to get it done. I feel anyways that they're going to show the NHL this evening that they are potentially the next big dominant team with the kind of players they have. What do you think about that statement? It's pretty grandiose and filled with so much hyperbole.
It could be, but for some reason, I'm thinking Anaheim's going to pull it off. As big a fan,
what's making you say? I'm curious. What's making you say that, knowing that? I just asked you a question that I think I know the answer to, which is, even though they were thrashed and throttled in that first period, their leaders, of which they have some significant cup caliber winning veterans, are probably saying, it's just one game.
Yeah,
we're coming home. We beat them when it mattered at home. Let's do it again.
Yeah, I think that's the case. And even though with their history, I believe it's been their last 4 series where they've been up 3-2 and then subsequently lost game 6 and had game 7 at home. The last 4, one against Detroit, one against L.A., I believe one against Chicago, and maybe the others against San Jose. They've lost. They've been 0-4, Game 7's at home. And the funny thing is, going back to Washington, Washington's also a Game 7 home choker. So right now, that tag is tied to Anaheim as well. But all that being said, I just have a feeling. And I think the way, oh man, everyone is playing so well. But I think the depth of Anaheim, in terms of their leadership, where Getzlaff will perform, Perry will perform, and I think Kessler will do something tonight too. Dreisaitl and McDavid will do as much as they can, as well as the Lucic's of the world and Patrick Maroon, but I think what's going to happen to the Oilers is that they're going to miss the supporting scoring of good old Ryan Nugent-Hopkins with 4 assists in 12 playoff games, 0 goals.
Atrocious.
And Jordan Eberle. They really need those guys, and they're not showing up. Jordan Eberle has 0 goals and 2 assists in 12 playoff games.
And they're getting paid good money, aren't they? Both of them have, north of $5, $6 million contracts guaranteed?
Yeah, they're both on making $6 million each.
Very comfort. very comfort schedule oriented in some ways.
Yeah,
you're on the train to the NHL. You have no reason to overachieve, but please help us. Worst types of contracts,
yeah,
really.
They didn't give him a bridge deal, and then they gave him the big long-term deal to lock him up, and they got comfortable.
Meanwhile, you've got, like you said, a pedigree in Anaheim. You've got in Getzlaff and Perry a ridiculous 1-2 punch of cup-caliber winning experience. You throw in Kessler, who you know is going to be hungry, who's going to play a hell of a game. And then you toss in the fact that Randy Carlyle has one more Stanley Cup than McLellan, right?
I was going to say, I kind of want to see Carlyle get far. I think he was given a raw deal in Toronto.
Oh, there's no question he was given a raw deal. There's no question. But at the same token, he didn't help himself very much. He stubbornly clinged to certain players and systems that people could see were not working.
And he got the bagel stuck in the toaster.
Man, that was probably one of the most embarrassing moments you could have hoped for that really didn't get reported a lot. But for you and I who saw that, and for a lot of Leafs fans who saw that,
yeah,
what a joke.
It was a huge metaphor. He was asking for help for the toaster, and none of his players came to help him out to get the bagel out of the toaster.
And all those resources for that amazing documentary style biographical look at the team. And what did you learn from it? That, let's see, Dion Phaneuf likes to dress up in one of 38 Armani suits. Phil Kessel loves playing ping pong or air hockey or some other kiddie arcade style game.
Foosball, I don't know.
Foosball or something like that.
Yep.
And Randy Carlyle's best slice of any kind of coaching wisdom comes in the form of laughing nervously as he asks a cafeteria attendant to fix the toaster. So, yeah, that was quite embarrassing. I love, by the way, how we segued from entertaining people about Game 7s.
Now we're talking about the Leafs.
Talking about the Leaves.
How does
ends
that
up
happen?
That
I don't wonder how that happens.
I don't know. Anything you want to mention about the Habs before we wrap it up tonight?
Quickly, Masai Ujiri.
Yeah.
As you asked me about
that's
the Habs.
That's definitely Raptor-related.
This will tie into the Habs. So Masai Ujiri had his end-of-season State of the Union address, and there were actually some things that I liked what he said, especially when he said, we've been trying the same thing over and over again, and it's not working. We need a culture change. And I said, you know what? That's actually quite refreshing for a general manager, or actually whatever, the president of operations, whatever his title is, for him to say something like that, because I compare it to what Marc Bergevin, general manager of the Montreal Canadiens, is saying when they ask him, you know, seeing you need, most Stanley Cup teams need a top center, a Stanley Cup champion needs a top center to win, what are you going to do? And he's like, well, you can't get centers in the NHL, they're hard to get, so we're going to keep doing this. Asked a question about most Stanley Cup winners don't win with a great goaltender. Do you see yourself moving forward in a salary cap world with an $8 to $10 million goaltender? And his response was, well, I hope so, because Carey Price isn't going anywhere. So whereas Masai Ujiri is saying, you know what, we need to change. We need to do something different. We need to, you know, have that culture change. Bergevin is saying, we're going to keep trying the same damn thing. We're going to keep trying to win with a top goaltender and without any top centers. Like, how does that make sense? Like, it's incredible that he is actually wants to keep the status quo of a formula with a top goaltender and zero offense and try to win games 1-0 to 2-1, which hasn't worked in his 5 years as general manager of the Montreal Canadiens, and he wants to keep it and keep building that way. That's why when I heard Masai Ujiri say that he needed to change, I really thought that I liked that, and it was just a huge difference compared to Bergevin's end-of-season presser.
And I'm glad that you liked it, because it was certainly worthwhile to appreciate, except for one important asterisk that I put in, which is he was the architect of that culture. And I think it's very easy as an executive manager to look at a product after it's failed to succeed what you were hoping it was supposed to do and then say, we need to reset it. I actually didn't interpret it the way you did. At first, I looked at it and I thought, man, that doesn't make sense. You brought in Lowry. You brought in DeRozan. You organized the parts around them. You've been around this team long enough to know what works and what doesn't. So for you to say we need a culture change almost felt like he was abdicating the responsibility, when what he should have said was, I built it. it's not working the way it should be, so I've got to retool it or I've got to do something to change it. I felt like he was throwing a lot of people under the carpet, so to speak, by saying we need a culture change, because I thought that doesn't exactly sound like incentive for Lowry to resign or for DeRozan to say, I want to stay here for the duration of my contract. Even his comment when he said about LeBron, what are we missing here in Toronto? He said, well, if we get LeBron,
that's
we'll win.
Joke.
I thought to myself, what a silly comment, yeah. Not only for you as the player, but then management comes out and they need a culture change. I wouldn't be surprised if we'd see a blockbuster trade with this Raptors team. Mm-hmm. NBA has been known for that, where they just look at a team that looks like it's cruising along at a 45, 50, 55 win pace, then they go out and completely change it, and the next thing you know, it's a completely different-looking team. So
yeah, they could do that. That'd be interesting
awesome.
To see.
Some awesome observations tonight. We'll be back again tomorrow. You can find Kamal on Twitter, at KamalRahman10, and I'm, of course, at Ari_Shapiro. Anything you want to add?
I think we didn't get your score for tonight's Anaheim-Edmonton game.
I think there's a reason for it. I was going to say Edmonton, but then listening to you, I actually kind of started to convince myself that Anaheim might win. So I'm going to do a complete coin flip. I'm going to say an overtime victory.
Wow.
For given their speed. I mean, if they get to overtime, I think Edmonton wins it. But if it's in regulation, I can see Anaheim pulling out a 3-2 win, just controlling the game. That's a hard one. That's a complete
yeah,
coin flip.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to, yeah, since I just have a feeling... I like the score 3. I'm going to go, 3-2 Anaheim, and I think it's going to be their defense that actually comes through with the Hampus Lindholms and Cam Fowlers of the world pulling off something.
You don't think Edmonton will be able to match them in that regard?
I just have a weird feeling, although I like Talbot better than Gibson, but I just have a feeling.
I know what it is. It's watching Getzlaff manipulate the defense in the first two games that kind of made you go, wait a minute, they're not that fast and they're not that strong.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a good core. Darnell Nurse is playing way in over his head. Larson is a rock, but...
Have you noticed how many times Darnell Nurse gets smashed during a game? That poor guy, he's a big dude, but he gets hit a lot.
And there's only so much you can absorb before something breaks or something doesn't give, and then the next thing you know, you learn that he played the triple overtime with a torn ACL or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know those war stories.
Yeah.
I was playing with a hairline fracture of my foot, but I scored the game-winning goal.
Erik Karlsson.
Then I disappeared last summer.
And went fishing?
Habs fan versus Leafs fan.